الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Because we are in the Mubarak month of Shaaban, I felt that we will speak a little bit about the Mubarak night that is approaching, the 15th of Shaaban, and how we can use this time to perhaps change our destiny, the way of our life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our life, He gives many great opportunities. Every day perhaps a chance comes, many chances perhaps, 10, 20, 30, who knows how many. And if a person has to make amal, or if a person has to take benefit from one of these opportunities, chances, then perhaps his whole life will change, he will end up in Jannah. And there are times when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala puts such things in front of a person, that if he makes the wrong choice, then at that time everything goes wrong, and he will end up in Jahannam. No person knows the condition of his heart, what it is now, what it will be tonight, what it will be next year. A person might be a Shaykhul Hadith of a madrasa, and he might land up in kufr. And there might be another person who lives his whole life in kufr, and on his dying bed he dies on iman. The ustad might die as a kafir, the student might go in Jannah. It is mentioned in the ahadith that in Jannat, certain people will see certain people in Jahannam, and they will tell them that you were the people because of whom we landed up in Jannah. You all were giving advices, you all were giving bayans, you all were speaking to us. It shows that their words also were having effect on the people. And because of you, we have landed up in Jannah. What has happened to you? They will be burning in Jahannam. So the condition of a person's heart, no one knows. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua is so amazing. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarada. That every day when that chance comes, then O Allah, put us that we choose the right thing. There are times when man makes the correct decision and everything goes right. And there are times when he will make one wrong decision and everything will go wrong. So in this year, I will mention a couple of incidents which Allama ibn Qudama rahimullah is mentioning in his kitab called Kitab al-Tawwabin, a book on how people have made tawbah. And in here we will understand how things can just change, making the right choice, making the wrong choice. And we will understand what is the value of these nights when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us that we can make ta'alluq with Him and ask that our taqdeer must stay on the right path. Hazrat Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one dua is, O Allah, protect me from a bad taqdeer. Everything is going so nicely now and suddenly one change comes. The heart becomes hard. The story of Abu Abdullah Andalusi rahimullah is very famous. How, what a great person he was. And Allah Pak made that he went into irtidad, he became kufr. And later on when he made tawbah, what he said? He said, I felt that iman just came out of myself. It was not an ikhtiyari thing, this iman. Allah Pak gives it to who He wishes. Allah Pak can snatch it from who He wishes. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا Quran mentions, they got Lord pride, they are coming to you, O Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are saying, we have brought iman. كُلَّا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ Allah Pak says, don't come and boast about your Islam here. Allah Pak has favored you with iman. Because of that we are believers. And if Allah Pak takes it away, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a king who accepted Islam. And the riches of this king was mashhur. When a person is mashhur from adalat, he's just, then you call him that you are just like so and so person. And you are brave like so and so person. he was mashhur with riches, that he as rich as so and so person. You can understand how rich he was. He accepted Islam at such a time. Today, presently, if someone has to accept Islam, the president of the country, everyone will get happy. And we'll take him around showing him that, look who has accepted Islam. So and so has accepted Islam. He was a big singer, now he's accepted Islam. As if he has done a favor to Islam. Allah Pak says they are doing no favor to Islam. So he accepted Islam. And while he was making tawaf of the Baytullah, it happened when you're making tawaf, Hajj time, Hazrat Mulana Abdul Hamid Sahib says, is the time when man realizes his worth. You might be a Shaykhul Hadith of a madrasa and everyone makes way for you. You might be the king and you got your bodyguards. You might be so and so. But when you're walking in Hajj, you look like everyone else. And there, this person pushes you, that person pushes you. And then you realize your worth. So while he was making tawaf of the Baytullah, one person, his leg fell on his lower garment. And he was in ihram. And because the leg fell on it and he moved, that lower garment fell down a little bit. And his sitar opened. And for such a king, this was the height of embarrassment, of zillat. So he turns around and he slaps the person in the face. That, don't you know who I am? And that person immediately says, I will tell Umar about you. And he goes away. Umar radiallahu anhu's justice was mashur. That if you slap so and so, he has to slap you back. And for the king of so many lands, now to be get slapped back by a normal person, what a disgrace that was. So before Umar radiallahu anhu can even call him to the court, that night he runs away. He becomes murtad. And he goes. Mullah Ashraf Ali Tanwi rahimullah has mentioned this waqiyah. And under the heading that Allah Pak doesn't need anyone's Islam. No one has done a favor for Islam. Allah Pak favors people with Islam. No one does favors to Islam. So he becomes murtad and he runs away. And many years passes. Now it shows Umar radiallahu anhu's condition also. That if he became murtad, he became murtad now. I'm not going to run behind him and tell him sorry and I won't do anything to you. Please come back into the fold of Islam. He has chosen his path, he has gone. Umar radiallahu anhu never even questioned about him for so many years. And thereafter one day it comes in his heart that maybe I should make tawbah and go back to Islam. Now understand the end of this man's life. He sends a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu that I am ready to come back into the fold of Islam. But on two conditions. One is you must give me your daughter. Or someone from his family, whoever it was. And the second is, you must make me Khalifa after you. So again, that pride was there. I'm someone, you must give me that show. So when the matter comes to Umar radiallahu anhu, he looks at it and he says, that the Islam of a person I would really love. So regarding that girl in my family, I will have nothing wrong with giving her. But regarding Khilafat, that is for the Muslims to choose. So if they choose you, you can become the Khalifa. If they choose somebody else, he will be the Khalifa. And he writes this answer back and he sends it. And Mullah Ashraf Ali Tanwi rahimullah writes that just before the letter reached his house, he passed away. Then he writes, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. They got a lot of pride. We got Islam. Say, Allah Pak doesn't need anyone's Islam. So what was the condition of that man when he died? Only Allah Pak knows. But what's the ibrat of that story? That Allah Pak does not need anyone's Islam. And Allah Pak doesn't need our Islam also. So that waqiyahs that I was supposed to mention, which Ibn Qudama mentioned, it is two waqiyahs to understand how chances can come in our life. And if Allah Pak favors us and we make the right choice, then everything will go right. And if Allah Pak does not favor us, and that one mistake we make and everything goes wrong. And this is what man has to be in hope of and fear of. When Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Iman is between hope and fear. Hope and fear of what? Every morning we wake up with that hope, that perhaps today I will make that right choice, decision. Allah Pak will be happy with me and everything will go right. I'll end up in Jannah. And that khawf that perhaps today I will take a fall somewhere. Allah Pak will become angry with me and everything will go wrong. So he mentions a person, most likely in the country of Baghdad, sees a dream. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that you must go to so and so country, and a person so and so name, he's a fire worshipper. Go and mention to him that your dua has been accepted. So he wakes up, he's amazed, what a funny dream. And the distance is so far. So he doesn't bother about the dream, but the next night he sees it again. And the third night again he sees it. And he realizes that Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving me an order, let me go. He lands up in the country, he finds the house. And he goes inside and he tells the person that I want privacy with you. Everyone leaves. The man is a very rich man, he's a fire worshipper. And all his like murids he has. all taking benefit from his wealth, generous also. And he says, they must all go out, I want to speak only to you. And thereafter he mentions to the person that I am the messenger of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I have brought you a message. He says, what message? He says, your dua has been accepted. So the man says, you know who you're speaking to. I don't even believe in your messenger. I have never made dua. What dua are you speaking about? He says, I also felt shy to enter your house. But I have been given this order and I am giving you the message. My job is done. Now what you do about it is up to you. So he says, this man looks down on the ground. He ponders for a while and then he recites shahadat. He recites kalima. And then he calls all his friends and he says, I have accepted Islam. Who's ready to accept Islam? Whoever will accept Islam can continue benefiting from my wealth. Whoever does not want to accept Islam will never get one more cent from my wealth. And he says, everyone accepts Islam, that entire gathering. Then he calls his son, then he calls his daughter and they accept Islam. So he says, in that 1 second, how many people accepted Islam? Like that whole tribe under this fire worshipper. And then the man says, that should I tell you what dua has been accepted? So he says, a while ago I made the nikah of my son to my daughter. Because for fire worshippers, sons and daughters marry each other. On the occasion of that nikah, God gathered all the fire worshippers of this area. And you can understand what a massive nikah it must have been. Wedding ceremony of their own. And till late in the night, the music was carrying on. There was food, there was dancing, there was sound. There was blasting of music. And he says, when I became tired, I went upstairs to my room to rest. And I could hear a girl crying from next door. So he says, our neighbors claimed to be from the family of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sayyids. And there was a small girl crying to her mother. They were very poor. She says, oh mommy, the food of our neighbor, the smell, has taken away my sleep. Because when a person is hungry, and then you smell food, where can you ever sleep after that? So he says, in that condition, some pity came over me. And I went downstairs myself, and I prepared some food which I regarded as halal for these people, which was not cut, not meat. And I take it to the house and I give it to the mother. And then he says, that girl comes and looks at me and says, may Allah make your hashar on my grandfather. So he says that dua was accepted. Thereafter, Ibn Qudama writes another waqia. He says that sometimes you can make the wrong decision. And he writes, a very similar incident has been mentioned in history where a Sayyida, meaning a woman from the Sadat family of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she lands up in a certain country. Her family was all killed. The enemy were chasing her. She takes her children. She lands up in a certain place. So she comes to the pious person of that place and she requests that I am a Sayyida and my family has been killed and I need place for the night. So for some reason the wrong choice was made by that person. And he tells this woman that if you can present some proof to me that you are from that family, I will accept you. Now where proof she's going to bring? And she goes away. And she lands up by a non-Muslim's house and she tells him her same story. And he gets that patifa. And he says, come in my house for the night. So that night, the pious person sees a dream in which he comes in front of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and there's a castle there. And he says, oh Allah's Nabi, for who is this castle? And he says, it's for the believer of my ummah. And he says, I am a believer of your ummah. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no problem, you may enter, but show me your proof. And he gets shocked. And he wakes up and he goes looking for that family. So when he comes to the non-Muslim's house, and he finds out that they are staying in this house, so he tells the non-Muslim that these people claim to be the family of my Nabi, so I have to look after them, it's my responsibility. So the person says, never, I'll look after them. So he says, I'll pay you so much money, I will give you so much. He says, no, I'm looking after them. He says, how long are you going to look after them? He says, as long as they want to stay. So he says, this is not right, they are not part of your religion. They are part of my religion. He says, why? He says, they are part of the family of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, we also believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, since when? He says, since today in the morning. He says, what made you all accept Islam? He says, last night I had a dream. And in the dream I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a castle. And I said, for who is this castle? And he said, for the people looking after my family. So Ibn Qudama then he makes this, what you call, deduction. That who knows who will make the right decision. So this is that hope and fear that every person has to live by. Hazrat Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that in the night of Shaban comes a certain night. Certain muhaddisin have mentioned a lot about it. But in the ending, the ulama of Dioband have looked, and gathering all the ahadith together, they get some taqwiyat strength. And they have said, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to fast in the month of Shaban. In this there is no discussion. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep roza when? On special occasions. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the reason why he kept roza in the month of Shaban to such a great level, that in this month the actions are presented up to Allah Pak. So I would love that my actions should be presented in a condition that I am keeping roza. Other ahadith have mentioned that on the 15th night of Shaban, Allah Pak writes decisions. Mullah Ali Qari made explanation that on the night of Laylatul Qadr also things are written. On the night of 15th of Shaban also things are written. Maybe there in a khulasa torpar, summary, and here in detail, whatever it is. But decisions are made on the night of Shaban. In this night many things are written. What is going to be the man's lifespan for the next year? What is going to be the man's actions for the next year? So this is the thing, that on the night of 15th of Shaban, when man can stand up in front of Allah and say that I don't know what decision I will make in the following year. أعوذ برضاك من سخطك. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha that don't ever trust your iman. Oh Allah Pak, I seek your protection in your mercy, in your happiness from your anger. وَأَعُوذُ بِعَفْوِكَ مِنْ عِقَابِكَ. I seek protection in your forgiveness from your punishment. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. I seek protection in you, Allah, from you, Allah. Allah Pak can snatch, Allah Pak can give. So on the 15th night of Shaban, Allah Pak is giving us chance. And these chances come over and over again. Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, will always mention that as man goes through this life, it is as if he is walking through gardens. He comes to the first garden and he is told that whatever fruit you want to take, put it in your basket and you may go out, everything is free. So he sees the fruit of this garden and he wants to put it in his basket. And then he looks in front and he sees there is better fruit. So let me carry on to the next garden. And he goes, empty basket. And there he finds lovely fruit. So much opportunity. But he says, soon I will take some more fruit. Let me carry on seeing the garden. And he goes garden after garden. Until a time comes when he thinks that perhaps every garden had better fruit, perhaps the next garden will also have better fruit. And he walks out of the garden and the door closes. And then he tells, no entering back in the garden. Whatever you got, you got. Murana says, this is our life. Every Ramzan that comes, every 15th of Shaban that comes, every day that comes, every Jummah that comes, every Eid that comes, is that one garden that we have stepped into. But every person looks at the fruit of that garden and he says that the next garden, perhaps next year will be better for me. Perhaps at the moment my dunya is very, very busy. I am busy in my dunya is busy with me. Soon I will retire, give my child everything, and then I will go in the next garden. And there the fruit are very, very tasty, juicy. Then I will retire for Allah's ibadat. And when man comes there and then his children are grown up, and then he says, I have to look after my child more now. Someone has become sick. This has happened. That has happened. He said, soon everything will take care of itself. I will go in the next garden. And Murana says, before he knows it, he's out of the garden. The gate closes. And it is said to him, whatever you got, you got. So these are the opportunities Allah Pak has given us in this life. On the night of 15th of Shaban, we have to make this dua. That, oh Allah, when that chance comes, let us make the correct chance, the correct decision. Oh Allah Pak, when that time comes, let us not make the wrong decision. A certain woman comes in front of a person, young, beautiful, and he puts up his nazar and he looks at her. And he thinks nothing will happen. Who knows, perhaps that one action of his is that action which Allah Pak will dislike. A certain person came to a great Sufi. It is mentioned in the books of the Tasawwuf. And he told him that I was Hafiz of the Quran. And a young girl came in front of me and I just looked up at her. And after that when I went to try and read Quran, my whole Quran was gone. That one slip he made, Allah Pak took away his Quran. He was lucky his iman wasn't taken away. Hazrat Hakim Sahib's one ash'ar, that if only I had known beforehand, if only someone had told me beforehand, ke meri nazar par unki nazar paas baan thi, that on top of my eyes was somebody else's eyes, that one long rook and Allah Pak is angry and what had happened. A person comes with 1,000 rands, one bribe, and you look around, no one is looking, I'll make tawbah after this. And who knows if I take the 1,000 rands and Allah Pak says I'm angry with this person. And everything will go haywire after that. When man wants to recite that kalima, as Rakim Sahib Dawand Barakatuh says, that one man came in Pakistan, and because of education, he was maghroor, pride, and he could not like the ulama, he hated the ulama, he would swear the ulama. His whole life was given to find fault with the ulama. Some people, their diet is this. Take out the faults of the ulama, criticize, do nothing good, only do bad. He says, when the end of this man's life came, then we found him that first he was gone like mad, and he would go to the sewage water and he would start drinking from that water. Allah Pak was angry with this person. And then after that, he was lying in his room, he was weak. Perhaps he was on his deathbed, and Hazrat Rakim Sahib Dawud Barakatuh sent someone with the message to go tell the person there is still hope. Make tawbah, Allah Pak will forgive everything. And when that person comes and tells him that he's make tawbah, read kalima, and he says that I am such an educated person, and I have learned so many languages. I can speak in so many different tongues. I know so many different things. But this one thing you are telling me, tawbah, I cannot understand that. And this thing you are telling me to say, I can't bring it on my tongue. Allah Pak had locked the tongue, Allah Pak had locked the mind. Who knows whose condition will be like this? That Allah Pak will become angry with him. So on the night of the 15th of Shaban, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us a chance to make the best of the opportunity. One masala also comes about how to make the best of opportunities. I will just mention it here. It got some ta'alluq with the mazmoon. Many a time people come to for salat and they find that the imam is in sajda already. They have missed the ruku. Everyone knows this masala, that if you get the imam in ruku, you got the rakat. So everyone rushes for the ruku. But once that imam comes out from the ruku, then you find people standing, they're now waiting for the imam to stand up again. So one sajda goes by, and then a qawma goes, a jalsa, and then again the man imam goes into sajda, and then the imam rises up, and then everyone joins the salah. So in Tirmidhi Sharif, there is that a hadith, I cannot remember the wording, one student mentioned it to me, when Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that when you come in the masjid, then whatever posture you find, the imam immediately join in that posture. Now our minds will think that if we have missed the ruku, we missed the rakat. So why must we go into that sajda? So under that, Imam Tirmidhi rahimullah writes the call of a certain tabi'i, most likely. And he writes that if it's that one sajda, perhaps it might not be part of the rakat. I'll have to repeat that rakat. But who knows, perhaps this is the last sajda of my life. Perhaps while standing there, my life goes away. So at that time, when you enter the masjid, go into that sajda. Allah Pak has given us so many opportunities. Today to perform how many salats, how many times to recite kalima, how many times to make tawbah. And these chances will come and come and come. But Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Mitzab says, Allah Pak will continue giving, giving, giving. And then a time will come when there will be no more chance left. Before that time comes when there is no more chance left, let us make the best of the chances that Allah Pak has given us. So on the 15th of Shaban, if a bayan does take place, we can go for the bayan. But that is not the essence of the 15th of Shaban. On the 15th of Shaban, it is one night. Maybe the next day we open up our shop a little later also. And spend that night in Ibadat. Spend that night in Ibadat. Hazrat Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on that night, whatever dua is made, Allah Pak will accept that dua. And whoever asks for mercy, Allah Pak will give that person mercy. And then there are few people who will not get anything on that night. And Allah Pak protect us that we don't become of those people. There is no time left. I will mention one person only. And whoever has this problem, let us make tawbah from it. It is the person who has grudge, enmity, hatred for his fellow Muslim brother. Sometimes it's a real brother of his, a real sister. Sometimes it's his father, sometimes it's his son, sometimes it's a fellow Muslim brother. People have done wrong, people fight, people argue. We are all insan, we will always fight. But that person who can't find it in his heart now to say, forget the matter and forgive. And that person who sleeps with this grudge and this hatred for his fellow Muslim brother, then even on the 15th of Shaban, Allah Pak says, you can't have mercy on your fellow Muslim brother, I will not have mercy on you. Hazrat Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a young sahabi. And he said, oh my beloved sahabi, let me give you some advice. That when you go to sleep at night, sleep with a clean heart. Let there be no enmity in your heart. Clean your heart. And he says, this is my sunnah. And whoever will practice, whoever will love my sunnah will love me. And whoever will love me will be with me in Jannah. On what basis that your heart is clean? A sahabi walked past, Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from Jannah he is. Another Sahabi went to go see what action has taken him to Jannah. He found nothing really special. He asked him, what is your action? He says, nothing really, but when I sleep at night, I clean my heart of everyone. I sleep with a clean heart. What is so hard in it? So on the night of 15th of Shaban, Allah Pak will look at our hearts. And Allah Pak will look at our clothing. It is mentioned in the hadith that person whose izar is going under his ankles, that person's maghfirat won't be made. So we got time now. Let us put our pants up. Let us clean our hearts. Let us stop our bad actions and let us make dua. That when these opportunities come, we make the right choice. Allah Pak grant us tawfiq to do what makes him happy. Allah Pak protect us from doing what makes him angry. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.